When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
If you caught the end of the show yesterday, in addition to learning I can't read, you also heard that John and I are going to be taking some time off the next couple weeks. Heather, too.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we have a festive finish to 2024. We have, for some people, the 12 days of Christmas. We have the 12 days of Stony.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You talk about pitching chaos with the Tigers. This is morning show chaos with me.
You got a couple days this week, all next week, all the week after.
Yes. It'll be fun.
12 days of Stony. Yes. Get you back in here. It's awesome.
Getting up at 4:47 again. Ooh, baby.
It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's delightful. You know, in all sincerity, of all the, I think the best shift, like health-wise, for me, I mean, I love doing afternoons all those years, but doing, middays.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can still stay up a certain amount of time, and you still, I would get up at between like 7:15 the last 2 days when I was in with Doug.
Yeah.
And so you're still getting, if you're up till midnight, you're still getting 7 hours of good sleep. Yeah, you still have plenty of time to prepare for the show, and boom.
And then you're done at two.
You're done at two. And in the summertime, you can go right to the golf course or wherever you're going to do it. Stays. I mean, that's the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
they've got it made.
Yeah.
And they're doing it together for almost, 20 years?
I know.
Locked in.
Yes, indeed.
So, all right.
Good to see you, everybody.
It's good to have you in.
Yeah.
Want to talk a little hockey?
Sure. All right. I'm waiting how long for the over-under for the Gov to come in with the it would be more Wojo to ask the old bit question from last night.
What's the old bit question?
Flyers, the Red Wings, who do you root for, Stony?
All right, Stony, who are you rooting for?
I was rooting for the Flyers. I mean the Red Wings.
Freudian slip.
But did it bother you at all that the Flyers lost? Just a little bit.
No, not at all.
Really?
Well, the only thing that, seriously, the only thing that bothered me, and you were there, was I was looking forward to just watching a full Flyers game, just seeing Michkov.
Oh, he was absent-minded?
He did nothing.
Nowhere. Well, the Flyers didn't have any shots on goal through two periods. I mean,
no, they had that first shot with the total goal early.
The soft goal.
Yes.
And then the second goal they scored was also one of those like fluky pucks up in the air and it rolls down the goalie's back.
Yes.
Wings win.
Yes.
Two in a row. Mm-hmm. They've got five of the next six at home. It kind of feels like now's the time if you're going to pick this thing up, but you're making a face.
I'm making a face because it's only one, but we're so consumed with Lions fever in this town that now the Red Wings decided to, you know what? We'll be just like the Lions. We'll get a really good player hurt.
Simon Edvinson. Watched it happen. I don't know exactly what happened, but he dropped the stick and he skated off and I go, that's not good.
No, and Lalonde after the game, now I didn't see the presser because it was on TNT. FanDuel Sports didn't obviously show the press conference because they didn't show the game.
Yeah.
But from all indications and reading that he had no update, but his body language, meaning Lalonde's, was not good.
This team doesn't have four good defensemen.
No.
To lose one of the ones that they do have.
I mean, we were talking before the show, Sherrod, Sherrod at one point was playing like 22 minutes. It was early in the third period.
I think he finished 29 minutes of ice time, plus three. He stepped up, but you're not doing that every night.
No.
More Johansson? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not good, Stoney.
No.
But this is the stretch if they're going to do something,
it's
right?
It's going to be more Gustafson, which is really not good.
I know. 5 of 6 at home. They scored 10 goals the last two games. Mm-hmm. Outshot the opponent. How about that, the last two games?
Good.
And they're getting secondary scoring, which has been an issue all season long.
That was a great pass to Compher by Larkin on that. That was a great play. And they actually did something that other teams have killed them on this year. Winning a face-off back and scoring right away.
Rasmussen.
Yeah.
How about a couple odd man rushes? I forgot that was allowed. You know what I mean? Kane to DeBrincat. I'm like, oh, that's right. Those guys played together in Chicago. Why haven't we seen that all season long? They finally connect on a big goal on DeBrincat's birthday.
Yeah.
And then Kane scores a goal, which he had acknowledged he was kind of snake-bitten.
Oh, yeah.
Valeno scored a goal. He hadn't scored a goal in forever. Compher hadn't scored a goal in almost 2 months. So, yeah. A little secondary scoring, putting a puck in the net. They're going to have to outshoot some of their problems like they did last year. And this is the stretch, Stoney, with games at home, winnable hockey games. If they don't pick up some steam here, you're going to the new year and it's just it's done. It's,
yes, absolutely. And you know, the other thing that's interesting about the game, I thought maybe it was just that I didn't look at the final box score, but I think they only had like one penalty.
Sounds right.
And that's been there.
It was late. It was third period.
Right.
And Larkin played like a man possessed on that PK.
Yes.
Like tip of the spear. He's chasing them at center
ice. It was a weak penalty, too. It was on Kane.
Yes.
It was a very weak penalty.
I understood why they called it.
Yeah, I
didn't like it, but
no,
I understood it.
I know. But, you know, to keep the Red Wings from having to kill penalties is a plus.
Well, you know, too, the emotions of that, right? They give up the early goal. They're down 1-0. And I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah.
PCC, paying customer costs. I'm sitting right there going, here we go again. I've been to so many losses already this season. And they get that double minor at the end of the first period. I'm going, they have to score.
Right.
Have to score. And they do it. All of a sudden, now there's a little bit of juice.
And the first half of that power play
terrible.
Was awful.
Terrible. Terrible.
But then they got it together, scored the goal. And
yeah, how about 6 goals, a win, back-to-back wins. And I was like, is that... That's not their longest win streak of the year, is it? It's not.
No.
They won 3 in a row
right.
back, I think, the first 4 or 5 games of the season. But they have not gone on any sustained runs.
Right.
And that's what's in front of them right here.
And they play Montreal back-to-back.
Home and road.
Friday and Saturday, right?
Yep.
And,
Friday's the home game.
And look, the Canadians, Canadians are not very good this year. You're talking, if they're going to make a, it's too early to talk about playoff runs, but you got to hope they can get at least 3 points. Out of the 4, right?
You got to get back into this a little bit.
Yeah.
At least give yourself a chance. You can't win a playoff spot in December, but you could certainly lose one. And they've not played well.
So
the Blues coming up here, too. There's winnable hockey games.
Yeah. By the way, bigger question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have your shirt on last night at the game?
I did, Stoney. I did. You're talking about this fan.
Yeah.
So where my seats are.
Yes.
It was the far blue line, same side, and I'm watching the play down there,
right.
And you see a fan get pushed into the boards, and you see them kind of flex and bounce, and like, oh, whoa, and everybody in our section stands, like, what's going on? Not even watching the game anymore. What's going on down there? And we can kind of see, and when everybody's standing, it's a lot harder to see, because you're all the way down the line. And then we watch security escorting this guy out, shirtless guy out. And then he starts to like resist and run. And you're like, what is going on right now? And Stoney, I know this made, was it the Free Press or the Detroit News? One of them had a story on it.
Yeah, the Free Press did. And well, our good buddy and former colleague, Brian Fisher, tweeted, there's something going on in the stands. And then he said, I guess there's nothing there. But there is video of him being escorted out.
Yeah.
Two ushers escorting a shirtless fan. And I'm sure it's not just because he was shirtless. Although, I wonder, they couldn't throw a guy out for being shirtless, stupid.
They're putting people up on the camera for being shirtless. Yeah, guys taking their shirts off, trying to get on camera. You're not going to get kicked out of the hockey game because you take your shirt off.
No. And, you know, people thought it was maybe, it was a Philly fan or some kind of fan. You couldn't
tell.
Hard
to tell.
Yes. He didn't have a logo on his chest.
He wasn't tatted up with, Flyers logos or anything. I don't know what happened. It looked like he got into some kind of physical shouting match. Shouting match. It turned physical.
Right.
And then they asked him to leave, and he was a Richard about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he got kicked out. But that would have been the third period, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Or late in the second.
Yeah.
But if you are that shirtless fan, or you are a relative or a friend or know that shirtless fan, Give us a buzz.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. We need to get the dealio on that guy.
Yeah, if you're him, great. If you know him, close enough. And if you're in the section and maybe got a better look at what happened,
yeah.
Hey, why not? Text in, call in. We prefer a call. 248-539-9797. No, I did not have my shirt off. I had an extra shirt.
Oh.
Finally. And all the times going to these games, T-shirt. I see it coming right to me. I got it.
Good.
I got it.
Congratulations.
Did you give it to a little kid near you?
I would. There was no kids there. So in front of us were like these like younger guys.
Right.
But they were, you know, they weren't going to need it. And then we had like older couples around us.
Listen to him saying
us.
Younger guys, you know.
I know. Probably guys in their like college age is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
And then there was like, you know, older couples around us. Mm-hmm. I would have given it to a kid. I mean, it's a medium shirt. What am I going to do with it?
Right.
But yeah, I caught a shirt.
John really missed out.
Yeah, John could have caught the shirt.
He could have caught the shirt.
Oh, John was supposed to go, and he didn't go.
It takes a swig of water.
Some things don't change.
I offer an olive branch. My wife's out of town. John, come on. We're doing the show together. Let's go to a game together. And he talked about it yesterday. There was a death in the Michigan family, and he was at a celebration of life. And plus, he's moving, and he all kinds of other stuff. But I wanted to go to a game with him, too.
Yeah.
And he could have caught that T-shirt.
He could have.
He would have.
He would have caught it before you.
Yeah, he would have. He's closer to the ceiling than I am.
Yes, that's true. That's a good point.
Anyway, reactions to that Wings game, 248-539-9797. Clearly, the Edvinson injury casts some doubt, but they've won back-to-back, and they have a chance to pick up some momentum here. Where are you at? 248-539-9797, and we want to hear from people who know that shirtless fan. It's 97-1. All right, tis the season. Moran Chevrolet is closing out 2024 with awesome pricing all month long during their Red Tag sales event. So get off the sidelines and get into the game with Moran Chevrolet, where GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2024 Equinox EV for $119 a month. Where are you finding a deal like that? $119 a month for 24 months, $999 down. That's Moran Chevrolet, where you always find the best price, period. Score your best deal at moranexpress.com. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. That's Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Happy birthday.
The cat.
Kane to the cat. Odd man rush. That's scoring chances.
Rare.
Outshooting the opponent back-to-back games. 10 goals for the Wings over the last two, both wins. Thank you for that, Greg. We have a stretch now where the Wings are going to be playing a bunch of games at Little Caesars Arena. Chance to pick up some steam, but Stoney's right to point out the Simon Edvinson injury is concerning. They don't have enough good defensemen as it is.
Correct.
He didn't play the majority of that hockey game, and they blew a 2-goal lead only before rallying late. Like, this could end up being a spot where they have to outscore their problems, which has not been something they've been able to do this season.
They have to be what the Lions need to do, outscore people.
A little bit.
Yeah, with all the, obviously, Lions injuries on defense. By the way, it's still early, but they are 4 points behind Ottawa for the last wild card spot. And there's a few teams ahead of them, too. So a little early to look at that. But by the end of the year, which would be about 5 or 6 more games, I think, something like that, you got to be pretty damn close. Now, look, obviously there's been teams that have gone on runs, especially after firing coaches and things like that. But I just don't think defensively they're that good.
Well, the thing right now with the East is it's almost what happened last year with the Devils. What in the world's going on in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Rangers are out of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody saw that coming.
When they traded,
everybody thought they'd be a 100-plus point team, right?
Yeah, they won the President's Trophy last year, if I'm not mistaken.
You're
right?
Correct, yes.
They traded Kako, whatever his name is.
I want you to try this.
Kako.
Kako. Yes, Kako. Yes.
Yeah. They traded him yesterday. He was an abject failure. And maybe he just needs a new lease on life, and they got another defenseman from Seattle. But I don't know. That's crazy. I have one of my best friends, a huge Ranger fan, and Birchie is too. They're just playing awful.
I mean, who are the definitive 8 playoff teams in the East? I'd make the case there aren't, right? I mean, that's what makes this interesting.
Well, 8, we got Toronto, Florida.
Boston will make it. I think so.
Yeah, New Jersey, this is their, they had all the injuries last year.
I think the Canes will get in.
The Canes will get in because they're good. I think Tampa will get in, and I think Washington's been, the fact that they're even doing as well as they are after Ovi got hurt.
I wonder how sustainable it is. I think there's still a spot or two that will be there
yes.
if the Wings can pick it up and play some better hockey.
Yeah,
I think it's only one spot, and it's that final 8th spot right now. Maybe the Lightning, you could catch them or something. But beyond that, I think it's already pretty definitive, and they're fortunate that, to me, if the Rangers were doing what they're supposed to do,
there's no spot.
There wouldn't even be a spot for them.
No.
And so the opportunity's there for the Wings. But, last night, what was the feeling in the arena when it got to 4-4? Because with the Edvinson injury, I'm thinking if they blow this game, the sky might fall.
The mood in the arena, I would say, I wasn't surprised. They're missing a couple defensemen. I go, here we go again. And you could almost feel, I don't speak for every fan that was at the game, but that's certainly how I felt.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Because you only have 2 really good defensemen, and one goes down.
Yeah, I would say they probably have 2.5 defensemen. Edvinson, Seider, and Sherratt. Yes. Sherratt's the half defenseman.
Right. Sherratt's been, he's an underrated player. They pointed that out on the national broadcast too last night. And
the turning point so far, if this thing turns around, was a Toronto game, and Jeff Petrie saved the season. So
yeah. Yeah. 2 goals. I know.
Well, think about it. The Tigers made a run with 1.5 starters. Maybe the Wings can make a run with 1.5 defensemen.
Right. Oh, so the Red Wings are basically morphing into every team we have. With the injuries with the Lions, and they got to outscore people the Lions might have to.
What aspect of the Pistons are they going to take on?
Well, they had Tim Hardaway Jr., I think, sounded the horn last night before the game.
There you go. I mean, can Raymond have a Cade Cunningham-like breakout? I mean, he kind of is, right?
Yeah.
Point per game guy.
Kind of did at the end of last year, too. Yeah. It's possible.
All right, then take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Pinch us this.
Yeah.
Make it happen, man.
Little magic.
Say for myself. Make it happen. Going to how many of these hockey games?
I know.
5 of the next 6 at home. I'll be at 3 before the year's over.
You going New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve. I'll be at the Blues game next week and Toronto a week from tomorrow. Wow. Those Toronto games are fun.
Yeah, as Gov knows, I have these little things that really bother me, the nitpicking. It's like they played Philly twice within 8 days, and at least that was one home, one
home
on the road.
Yeah.
And then Toronto here twice within 2 weeks? That's ridiculous.
And then
with this rivalry.
Yeah, and I don't think they're here again
no, they're
the
not.
Rest of the year because you only get them twice. Yeah.
Right.
And before you even get to the count, new year.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Heather's news.
All right, so the Lions aren't ready to say whether David Montgomery's season is over or not. So while he did have, obviously, this nasty injury, which Dan Campbell said would put him out through the rest of the season, the team has not placed him on injured reserve. So on Wednesday, Campbell explained that the Lions are in waiting mode regarding Montgomery because he's going to get a third opinion from a doctor. So the Lions say they're going to make their final decision based on, obviously, doctor's advice, but also how Montgomery is feeling as well.
When do you stop getting other opinions?
As I say, three feels like
you go until you hear what you want to hear, Stoney.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You find the one doctor that says, oh, you're going to be fine. And you say, all right, I'll take your advice. You know, right? You want to go
right.
until you find, you hear what you got to hear. And maybe that's what he's doing. But three is probably good for sure.
Well, yeah.
So the mother who is suing a Detroit judge after her teenage daughter was handcuffed for sleeping during a field trip is now facing a charge of assault and battery that has been filed in the court where that very same judge works. So the mother, Latoria Till, is accused of assaulting her 71-year-old aunt while under the influence. Now, all of the details, including like the extent of the victim's injuries, have not been exposed. They haven't been provided. But she is facing up to 93 days in jail and a fine of up to $500. It doesn't sound like she is going to be facing the same judge. I remember at the time he had kind of been like demoted to a different position because of all of this. But maybe she'll run into him. Who knows? He could still be there. It could be interesting.
Awkward.
Snow is on the horizon, and it could impact some travel conditions today and Friday. So the National Weather Service and Metro Detroit say they're looking at periods of light snow starting this afternoon into this evening. They do say areas north of I-69 are more likely to see snow earlier on. And then they say snow is expected to become more widespread overnight into Friday with up to 3 inches of accumulation by Friday evening. So the biggest impact on travel, they say, could be tomorrow morning. So be prepared. I guess this is your warning. Maybe leave the house a little bit earlier. Or
like
wake
us.
Up, look out the window. Yeah. Leave with us if you want to. So they say this winter blast will likely... like I said, impact the morning commute. High temperatures are expected to be in the low 30s for both today and tomorrow. And they say this weekend will also be pretty darn cold, but no more snow over the weekend. A high of about 26 degrees. Yeah. It's the winter time,
are
right?
Are we expecting snow on Christmas?
I am. I always expect snow on Christmas.
Are you keep looking for opinions until they tell you?
Yes.
I will find the meteorologist that tells me we are going to have a white Christmas. I did. I don't have the article anymore, but yesterday I was looking at like the chances of a white Christmas and how often over a 100-year period we've actually had a white Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's like 50%, 40
oh, really?
To 50%. So, yeah.
I would have thought it'd been higher than that.
Me too.
No. I mean, they're... on actual Christmas, like having, and there's a certain amount of snow you have to have it be counted as a white Christmas. So maybe, I hope so. It's always more fun when it's just magical when you've got the snow outside, right?
Looks better, yes.
Yeah. If you're harboring lots of anger, you can now take out your rage at Detroit's first Rage Room. Yes, located on the Lodge Service Drive, the Danger Zone gives Detroiters the chance to smash their anger away. It's what you would imagine a Rage Room is, right? You can go and take a baseball bat, a sledgehammer, whatever they have there, and just start smashing TVs or plates or mirrors or whatever it is. You get 30-minute sessions, and the owner, who is a former corrections officer with a background in mental health, said the Rage Room is a great way to relieve stress. Afterward, they can do some like breathing exercises as well. There's rooms for children, adults, and then they also do like axe throwing and stuff like that there.
Are you
as well.
Allowed to bring like figurines or statues of people, like or, you know.
I wonder. That would be cool if you could bring your.
You got someone in mind?
No, not
I mean,
really.
It does seem like a specific idea to bring a figurine of a person in.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you could bring in
props.
Your own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
I don't see why not.
I don't either.
Like when the Tigers don't sign Alex Bregman and go cheap, can you just go in there and just start swinging? And
yes, yeah. You can.
Anger absolutely. And rage and yeah. frustration.
Right, but you can't bring a picture of Scott Harris.
Oh, yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
Have you guys ever had a moment in life where you needed to break something? I've had one. Just one. Boy. And it was sports related.
Oh, really?
After game 7 of the 2009 Stanley Cup Finals. Oh. I was with my brother-in-law and he goes, I need to break something. And I go, yeah, I do too. So I broke a Jar Jar Binks figurine.
Wow. I did break something when I was younger. The Eagles lost some game or whatever, and I had a shoe with a little heel on it or whatever. Uh-huh. And I hit it against the wall and broke the plaster in my bedroom wall.
How old were you?
Probably like 13 or 14.
Oh, mom was not happy.
No.
Michael.
Have you seen these videos of people that break their TV after something?
Yeah. They throw the remote or a game controller at it. Stupid.
Go to this place instead.
I would only see that if you have a lot of money on the game.
I think some of these people are doing it for the social media, too.
Oh, no,
because it's always being filmed as well. Right, like it's always caught on camera. Yeah. You guys, listen to this story. I think this is incredible. There's a guy in New York that made this unbelievable discovery while gardening at his home. So this guy was outside. Who knows what he was doing? Planting some flowers, vegetables, whatever. And he spotted two giant teeth. Didn't realize they were teeth. Thought what he was looking at was like a baseball as he was digging. Turns out, no. He stumbled upon a mastodon jaw. Yes. So he called in the experts from New York State Museum. They confirmed it was a well-preserved jaw of an adult mastodon, as well as a piece of toe bone and rib fragment. Unbelievable. They say this is the first complete mastodon jaw found in New York in 11 years. So now, of course, they plan to look further in this particular area, surrounding areas.
Gives the drone something to look for.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, look for the mastodon jaw bones. I just think it would be so cool. The guy who found it doesn't want his name out there. But a piece of history.
This was found on his property?
Yeah, in his backyard.
Well, now they're going to be digging up his yard. Great. I'm sure he's thrilled about that.
Isn't there one of the schools in the Horizon League? Their nickname is the Mastodon?
I think so. Greg?
What is the IU produced? I think it's IUPFW.
IUPUFW as opposed to IUPUI or whatever.
IUPUI is not
the Jaguars. As some would call it. Yes.
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 Heather with the news. That's the first time you'd ever heard that, I'm sure.
It is.
Yes.
All right, coming up next, we have the Thursday touchdown. And before the hour ends, Stoney with an observation of Lions fans going at other Lions fans. It's 97.1. College football playoff starts this weekend. Big NFL storylines. It's the Thursday touchdown.
All right, guys, big, big weekend. The first college football expanded playoff edition has arrived. Ohio State hosts Tennessee on Saturday night, and I've heard that the Vols have bought some tickets to this game, so it's going to be interesting to see how many are there. If the Buckeyes lose, will Ryan Day be fired?
No, he won't, because the AD already basically said he is our coach and all that. However, little twist here, he will resign. He will not be fired. Because he mentally can't take living there anymore.
He'd be broken.
Yes. And it's sad, actually, because they're so myopic.
He should be fired. He won't be fired. Okay. That's my answer.
Well, he'd have to leave town if he's not fired for a while, Christmas.
Like what Herbstreit had to leave Columbus.
Well, and Herbstreit said that this actually might not be an advantage that they're playing this game at home.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, things need to start very good for them very fast, or that could be a situation.
Any truth to the rumor that the Vols are going to wear orange-winged helmets?
I saw somebody posted that, actually. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
All right, of the 8 teams playing this weekend, I believe Notre Dame is the biggest threat to win the national title. Are you with me, or are you going with one of the other 7 opening round teams? Again, that's a team playing this weekend that you think could maybe win it all.
I think Texas, if they made a quarterback change, could win it all. And they are playing in this opening weekend. Give me the Longhorns.
I agree with you on the team. Okay, I picked Texas. And the reason being, if they win this game against Clemson at home, then they play Arizona State. I know they have a good year. I think they have an easier path to the semifinal. Notre Dame, if they win, they play Georgia next. So that's why I think they're out.
But we don't know Georgia's quarterback situation, right?
Well, that's true.
But you agree. You think it's Texas without making a quarterback change.
Yeah, either one. Yeah.
What's your answer if they don't? You're just picking a team. One of these eight. I'm not holding you to this.
Yeah. If you told me Texas is sticking with Quinn Ewers, then I would probably take Notre Dame.
Okay. The Chiefs host the Texans and the Ravens host the Steelers this Saturday. These two games are going against SMU, Penn State, and Clemson, Texas. Are you going to be focused on the CFP or the NFL? And by the way, is this a Richard move by the NFL to schedule games up against the CFP?
I will be more focused, I think, on the college football playoff. That'll be on the big TV, and probably on my laptop will be the NFL. Is it a Richard move? No, because the NFL has always had these games on Saturdays historically. I don't think they cared about it. They're not going to move for the CFP. It's made, you can look at it and say it's the other way around.
Yeah, so we got to get the facts right. This was always an NFL Saturday, right. Sunday time of year.
Right.
And college made the decision to do this. Having said that, I'm more interested in the college football playoff this weekend.
This is also the Saturday where the Joe Namath, Susie Colbert thing took place, I believe.
How do you remember that?
Because it's classic.
It is the weekend, but I don't remember it unless he brings it up. Yeah. I want to kiss you. You know, the Richard move, by the way, was when the NFL decided to go up against the NBA on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And this year's the year they're really forcing it by the Wednesday games, because the four teams playing Saturday also play Christmas Day.
Yeah.
To get them the same window of a Sunday to Thursday, only it's Saturday to Wednesday.
Right.
It's just awesome. All right. The Lions have been decimated by injury. What current healthy player has to step up the most?
Za'Darius Smith. You need to get pressure with your front four. It makes everything so much easier. It helps everybody cover. It helps everybody. You don't have to blitz as often. It's Za'Darius Smith for me. That was the big addition. He's got to play like it.
We're close. I have DJ Reader. DJ Reader with McNeil gone. He's got to be stop the run. I know that he's not going to play every play, but he's got to help, you know, create some pressure on the inside, which would allow Za'Darius Smith to hopefully do something.
We both said vets. Vets yes. got to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Levi Onwuzurike. You were the talk of camp. Everybody left you for dead. Now it's time to step up.
It's a good one.
Clog that middle.
Yeah.
All right, the doom and gloomers say the Lions season is cooked. So let's get to the mock draft season then.
Oh.
Both Fox Sports and CBS Sports are mocking Ohio State edge rusher Jack Sawyer to the Lions. Isn't Sawyer actually a bad fit considering he never beat Michigan and he got abnormally butthurt about the flag planting incident? Yes, I'm being a troll. I just think he'd be a bad character fit.
I actually think he'd be great for the Lions because,
really?
Yeah, because first of all, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
Two, because of what happened, I think Dan Campbell and him would, they'd be brethren. I mean, you know what? The fact that a guy is that pissed off that he lost this game to his rival again speaks volumes. Yes, he acted like a little, you know what, a little bitch after the game. I get that, but I think he'd be fine.
Yeah, this isn't a little bitch locker room, so I don't think he makes sense. I also reject that we're asking about mock drafts right now. I know why you're doing it, but why are we doing it?
Well, I mean, the season's over, according to some people around here.
I know.
Yeah, I'm trolling here, though. Look, in reality, you interview him, find out if he is a good fit. I'm just taking shots here because I need to. That's two of them at Ohio State today.
Well, to Jim, you didn't give the answer.
I said no. It's bad fit.
Okay. Yeah. Bad fit because of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Jack Sawyer's not there in the mock draft, who would you take? All right, I'm just messing.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Rookie QBs Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels both have their teams positioned to make the playoffs at 9-5. Meanwhile, number one overall pick Caleb Williams has struggled, and the Bears this season have been a nightmare. Did the Bears make the wrong selection in last year's draft?
I'm not willing to say that. I think fit matters a lot. I think Bo Nix benefits from Sean Payton and a good system going on in Denver. Caleb, for all the talk, he's in the best situation for a number one pick. They fired their coach. They haven't been able to protect him. By the way, some of it is on him, too. I think we talked about it yesterday, starting to get a little afraid to take chances. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a byproduct of the environment he's in. I wouldn't give up on him. They got to hire the right coach, though.
Well, our answers are different, but the same rationale. I said it was the wrong selection because of the coaching that was there. You don't select Caleb Williams when your offensive coach is Matt, or your head coach is Eberflus, yes. And you don't have a great coordinator there with you. It was a horrible selection knowing what you had. Now, like you said, if you know they get a good offensive coordinator or an offensive-minded head coach, He could pay dividends.
Ryan Pace is the GM there. Is that his name?
Ryan Poles.
Poles. Okay. Why's he still got a job? Because
it's only his second year, I think.
Well, he's the one that decided to keep Eberflus, right? What were they doing?
We don't know. It could be McCaskey. I have no idea. But yes, that whole front office is just
could be Kevin Warren.
Oh, yeah.
He's there, too, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. All right, finally, both the Rams and Buccaneers have survived injuries earlier in the year and are playing scary good right now. Which team would pose a bigger threat to beat the Lions at Ford Field in the playoffs?
Well, they both came very close to doing it last year, but didn't. The Lions beat the Rams at Ford Field this year. They lost to the Bucs at Ford Field this year. I'm going to say the Rams only because not to look Evans and Godwin, they're really, really good, obviously. But Nacua, if he's 100% and Cup with the quarterback that they have, I can say his name, Stafford, I think they'd be just a little bit scarier.
I would say the Bucs. Okay. And I feel like we're splitting hairs. Like these are yes. both frisky teams that could and I think will upset somebody in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Tampa has beaten both Philly and Detroit.
Yes.
Tampa obviously played in the postseason against Detroit a year ago. They know what that environment's going to look like. I guess so do the Rams.
Yeah.
But
Rams have been in there twice in the past
you're right.
16 games.
Slight edge. I think Baker's playing better than Stafford is right now, too.
You know, the thing with this is that I would probably go Rams just because I just think Stafford in the moment is more surgical.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the two Ford Field games here that he's thrown a pick, has he? I'm pretty sure he's played clean.
So.
And, you know, Mayfield threw the pick last year against
Derek Barnes, right?
Exactly. And I think people forget with that Bucs game last year. So they lost to him this year. The Lions only scored 16 points. Last year, that game was 10-10. Like getting late into the third quarter when the Lions scored, I think Reynolds on fourth down, and it went 17-10, and then the Lions kind of pulled away, and then they got the pick and all that. It's a tough answer because
yes.
with the thing with Mayfield is that he's just a little bit more mobile than Stafford at this point in his career. But I think the Rams in a first playoff game at Ford Field would present problems.
Don't you trust Sean McVay more than Todd Bowles too?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bucs are the better overall team, but I think the Lions, Kryptonite, is a franchise quarterback, and I think Stafford's a little bit better.
And that is the Thursday touchdown. It's 97.1. Jingle bell rock. Come on, Stoney.
Jingle bell rock.
We got Stoney in.
We looked early before the show. One of my favorite Christmas songs was David Bowie and Bing Crosby doing Little Drummer Boy. Little Drummer Boy, even any version to me is my favorite Christmas song.
It's a little long.
Yes.
With the whole rum pum pum pums and over and over and over.
But rum pum 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 is awesome. You ever have a rum pum pum pum? It's great.
We're talking about it because Friday we got the cookie jar. We'll have some more Christmas fun at the end of the week here. Stoney is in for the rest of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. In mornings, he'll be with me the next couple days. John alternating the whole deal, but we're glad to have him. And Stoney, you had an observation. You've been in a little this week with middays. And
yes.
An observation of Lions fans and how they're acting towards their fellow Lions fans.
Right. Before we get to that, I do want to make a correction. Stafford, he did not have a pick in the playoff game, but he did have a pick in the season opener. Where the Lions won in overtime. Okay. And also to answer a texter, no, the Joe Namath thing was on Saturday night. It was not Monday Night Football. Because I remember, because as Gov knows, there was a party at my house that night. So we were watching it happen live on a big screen. Anyway.
Heather, do you know what we're talking about with this Namath thing?
I don't, but I just Googled it. Unfortunately, I can't hear anything. So I saw it, but I definitely need the sound, I think, really make it.
It's very uncomfortable.
Impactful. It looked uncomfortable. I mean, I could read his lips. I know you guys told me what he was
struggling.
Saying. So yeah.
It's one of the classic moments of NFL broadcasting history. It really is. I don't think I'm being hyperbolic, am I?
I don't think you are either.
And almost ruined Joe Namath's, if you want to even call it a career back then. I mean, he had basically ended up going into like AA or something, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, it would have ruined his career in the culture we live in now.
Oh, right.
He's fortunate when it happened.
Was he wearing like a puffy fur coat?
Yes.
Too?
Yes.
I want to kiss you.
I mean, there's so many underrated things in that. It's like there is a point like right towards the end where you can kind of see him veer back, like wobble back, and it looks like he's checking out the backside.
No.
He was talking about Chad Pennington.
Not a thrower. He's a passer.
And the greatest thing about it was every time you would listen to it, you would pick up something different. It was one of those. All right. Maybe we'll find it for Heather later. All right. Yes. There's a fandom that I found this week, and maybe it's sometimes listening to this station too much, or talking to some friends and things like that with the Lions situation. And I'm kind of guilty of it to a certain extent, where I believe with all the injuries, their chances of winning the Super Bowl are not very good. They're still going to be a really good team. I still think they can, you know, win the division, possibly get a one seed. We'll talk about that later. But there's this, I don't know, argument, at least that I perceive between fans, that if you have the gall to think that this is not a Super Bowl team anymore, they're not the favorite, they're not going to go to the Super Bowl, what the hell is wrong with you? You're a bad fan. Really? Who decides what's a good fan and what's a bad fan? First of all, if you're a Lions fan and feel that the injuries are too much to overcome, but you supported this pathetic team when they were 0-16 and the history and all that, how are you a bad fan because you don't think they can win the Super Bowl? How does that make you a bad fan? Is this a perception I'm just seeing out there, just listening, trying to, you know, piecemeal stuff together?
Stoney, I've noticed it too.
Okay.
So, I mean, I assume you got some flack this week with Doug when you had the gall to express real concern with this football team.
Percentages, yeah, I said they were 10% chance of winning the Super Bowl.
How dare you?
Right?
How dare you? First of all, Stoney's percentage has no bearing on what's actually going to happen.
Yes, exactly.
But all we can do is put these mics on and talk to people about what we think.
Yes.
And you're not a bad fan if you look at these injuries and say they're mounting, that there's real issues, that they're no longer the favorite. This isn't a matter of they will win the Super Bowl. They can, to your point, yes. Can to my point.
Yes.
But I got fan policed this week. We had a guy calling, you're a part-time fan, I think is what he called
me. A part-time fan.
Part-time.
Okay.
Been a fan my entire life, 30 years, bunch of losing. I'm a part-time fan because I don't have unwavering belief that they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Now, there are those fans who every season, whether it was good or bad, said, this is our year.
Well, I'd argue you're a bad fan then.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to do this, and I don't actually mean that, but if we're going to do like degrees of fandom, the lemming that every year thinks they're going to win every single game, like you're not actually paying attention to anything.
Right.
Why would anybody listen to anything you say? Your opinion is automatic wins, no nuance, no context, no nothing.
Right.
The fans who go and watch and have their own brains and think for themselves and care a whole hell of a lot, those are the, quote, real fans to me.
Yeah, and look, am I overreacting a little bit to the amount of injuries? Maybe. There are people who are overreacting to losing the Buffalo. I mean, that didn't bother me at all. I mean, yeah, you want to win the game, so yes, I understand that, but I said it till I was blue in the face. They weren't going to go 16-1. I never thought that because it's the National Football League. Upsets occur, and technically that was an upset because of the point spread, but they were playing a very good football team
with
a great quarterback.
If they had lost and were healthy, I go, boy, that's tough against an elite quarterback.
It happens.
I would have some doubts if they faced an elite quarterback in the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't be, quote, sky is falling, doom and gloom. Where we get more doom and more gloom is the injuries.
Yes.
It's the two things together. And by the way, it's not just that they lost. That game was not as close as the score indicated.
If they lost by
three on a last-second field goal and they're healthy, all right, you know what? Can't wait for the rematch. When you're down 17 points in the fourth quarter and you lose key players, plural, on defense, I hate when people go, sky's not falling. I'm not saying the sky is falling.
No.
I'm just saying everybody who's pretending things are rosy, you're missing the point.
Right. Can they overcome all this? Of course they can. But, yeah, it's, you know, if you want to use the analogy, yeah, the sun was bright, okay? And the clouds are starting to come over a little bit. It's becoming, like, partly cloudy or partly sunny. How about that?
Oh, okay.
I'll be positive.
The question is, does it make you a bad fan if you think they won't win the Super Bowl?
How can it?
You've experienced it, though.
Yeah.
I've experienced it. You guys have probably heard it in your friend groups, your group chats, your buddies.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. When you express doubt, are you met with the wall of grit? Grit, grit, grit. Because they have grit, they can overcome no matter what. Grit, grit. How dare you?
You heard Dan?
Yes.
You are Dan Campbell with you guys on Tour Tuesday. He was great. I loved it.
It was inspiring.
But
I loved it.
But it doesn't mean that they are going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm sure he would say the same thing. He just doesn't want people to think that they've given up the ship.
No.
Which, of course, you never. A coach will never. You know what? It's you know, we're a long shot now. Of course a coach is never going to say that. And, you know, as an athlete that, like John, obviously the players, you know, John TJ, they're never going to say that because they go and think they can win every game.
Their brain's not wired to think about it that way. But I think as a fan, especially a Lions fan, you're well aware of all that can go wrong.
Yes.
And while this regime has done such a good job fighting back against it and overcoming, there's water getting through.
Yeah.
You know, and I know Anzalone will come back, but there are more holes that you can't patch all of them.
No. I think, actually, if you're going to grade fandom, I think a worse fan are the ones who are blaming like the lining training staff for injuries.
Oh, yes, that's stupid.
Yeah, for broken bones.
I don't buy that.
No, of course not.
Some people blaming Ford Field, like all the injuries haven't happened at home.
No.
I don't think there's any one thing that's connecting all these injuries.
I don't think any of the injuries have been like non-contact, right? None of them have been.
Not that I'm aware of.
No, maybe Barnes, maybe. I don't know. But still, you're right. I mean, people are just looking for reasons. And the reason's just simple. It's always been the franchise is cursed.
I don't get the fan on fan crime part of this. Like, this angle of this doesn't make sense to me. Like,
but you've noticed it, right?
Right. But you're not Stoney, you're no less of a fan than I am, even though I remain on the optimistic, hopeful,
slash
trust this team angle that I have.
Because
I also believe for football reasons that we shouldn't give up yet, but for football reasons, you believe that this thing's looking pretty bleak.
Right.
It doesn't make you a bad fan.
No. Because you're a normal human being, you believe that some people can have different points of view. You know?
Which is a lost art today.
Yes, I know.
No, I think you'd be a bad fan if you said, I'm no longer a fan because of this.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to stop rooting for my team because the injuries have put me in like some sort of coma. Like, you're still going to show up and watch and root like hell for your football team.
Right.
That's why you're still a fan.
Yes.
Blind faith is not the same thing as being a good fan. I don't operate that way, Stoney. You don't operate that way.
No.
248-539-9797. We got phone calls to get to, ticket texts as well. Have you observed this? Bad fan if you don't think they'll win the Super Bowl. It's 97.1.